It is 7:22. I've been looking forward to this conversation. Now, the boys on WJR's All Talk had Alan Dershowitz on, who he's a screaming liberal Democrat, and yet he looks at what happened at President Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate as being really out of line. Can't figure out what's going on. Every FBI guy that I've known, whether it be Mike Rogers or even Andy Arena, have strong feelings about what's going on here. Andy, an attorney, law professor, head of the Detroit Crime Commission, formerly in charge of the FBI in Detroit, is on the line with us right now, and we appreciate you weighing in with your expertise. Andy, good morning.
Hey, Paul, good morning.
Every one of you guys that I've ever known, every FBI agent I've ever known, were really upstanding, wonderful law enforcement professionals. Why do I get the impression that we still have wonderful, upstanding law professionals who became FBI agents because of their love for America and of justice, and yet I'm not getting that same sense from the people in Washington who are in charge now of the FBI?
Well, Paul, you and I have talked in the past. You know, it's a strange world we live in, and every time you think it can't get any stranger, it seems to we seem to be proven incorrect, right? So I've never seen anything like this. And Paul, I've been involved in a lot of very, very high-profile investigations. You know, with my experience, and you know, all of us right now, we're just speculating, right? None of us. I have no inside facts about what happened or why things were done. I'm just using my experience. In the FBI, the things that I've done, the cases that I've been involved in, to kind of frame this a little bit. So, you know, I'm still kind of at a little bit of a loss here as to what was done and why it was done. You know, anytime you're in a high profile case like this, Paul, unfortunately, you've got to look at what is the public perception going to be. You know, how are people going to react to our actions? You know, some people in the FBI don't want to think that way, but that's, you know, Paul, that's reality. That's the world we live in. So you better be able to explain logically why you did what you did when you did it. And, you know, to this point, we're not really seeing anything, right? We're just seeing statements from Trump's attorneys, people speculating like me. But we've not really seen anything from the Department of Justice or the FBI to explain what they did and why they did it. And, you know, that's kind of leading a lot of us at a loss, and it's a bit troubling.
It is a bit troubling, and we can't help but think it's totally political. Right or wrong, that's the first thing that comes to our mind, usually. And then when you hear learned professors like yourself or like Alan Dershowitz, who says this makes no sense, the thing that should have happened would have been a subpoena for the information they wanted first. Not a full-out raid, skipping over the whole idea of a subpoena.
Right. You know, Paul, I go back to my career. Like I said, I'm trying to frame this. I'm trying to make sense of it with my experience. We had a case in Ohio against Congressman Jim Traficant. Very similar to Donald Trump, you know, in his actions and in his mannerisms. And, you know, we did try to subpoena some things, and he was withholding things. He hid some things. And so it got to the point where we actually had executed search warrants on his residence, on his office. You know, executing search warrants on a congressman's office is not like search warrants on a former president, but it's pretty up, you know, it's up there. So, you know, there are reasons, but I'm not hearing those reasons. And so it leaves us all to speculate. You know, obviously people on the far left are going to say, see, this just proves Trump's a crook. People on the far right are going to see this just proves that the FBI has been weaponized. So people in the middle like me and you, Paul, we need facts. We need to understand this, and we're just not getting those facts.
That is the problem, Andy. You put your finger right on it. I talked about it yesterday. People who hate Donald Trump think anything should be done or could be done or is done. If it keeps him from running for president again, it's successful, because they can't bear the thought of him running for president again. The problem is people have got to understand how many steps backward this is taking our legal system if, in fact, the FBI, becomes weaponized and is used for political purposes. Look, I mean, the timing just weeks before a major election is, I think your word was interesting, at least, right? I mean, it's at least interesting.
Yeah, well, that's the bottom floor. I mean, that's where we start. It's interesting. As I said, it leaves us all to speculate, and it leaves the fringe, the far left and the far right fringe to go out there and beat their drum. And, you know, most of us are just we're not getting any facts. You know, we hear people like me just trying to put some texture and some framework to this. But, you know, Paul, I don't know. You know, I'm just guessing like everyone else right now. And that's, you know, the longer this we're left to guess, you know, the drum beats are going to get louder on both sides.
Go ahead. Sorry.
That's not good. That's not good, Paul.
No, it isn't. And it's just bad. It's a bad precedent. But here's what I thought. I didn't know, though they did, that President Trump wasn't even at Mar-a-Lago. Believe me, they knew he wasn't there. They talked to his Secret Service agents. Everybody knew in that area, that level, knew that he was back in New York. So they knew he couldn't go running through the house destroying things, knowing they were coming to search. But here's what I thought, honestly, when I first heard this. I honestly thought that some of the agents, if he were there, would be apologizing to the president that they just did what they were doing. Am I far off from that being a possibility? Had the president actually been there, would some of the agents actually felt uncomfortable doing what they were doing?
Well, Paul, I got to tell you, from my experience, it's, you know, search warrants are never comfortable when you're going into someone else's house. You know, we're talking about you're violating their Fourth Amendment rights here. And it's, you know, it's, you're not really violating because you got a search warrant, but still it's an uncomfortable thing, you know. And I during my career, numerous times where I just talked to the homeowners to say, look, I'm not apologizing, but hey, you know, we're here. We're sorry. You know, we're disrupting your lives. We're going to do this as quickly as possible. We're not going to destroy your house. You try to calm them down and walk them through it. But it is an uncomfortable situation. Going through somebody's personal belongings.
Sure. I kind of sense that. And now multiply that because it's a former president of the United States of America, and they know it's never been done before. Andy, thank you for all the good work you do with the Detroit Crime Commission. As the executive director and such, always a pleasure to call upon you, my friend. Thank you, sir.
Anytime, Paul. Thank you.
Andy Arena, all-around good guy, as we continue on this Wednesday morning edition of the Paul W. Smith Show on WJR. Lots more to come, including right now, news.